On December 1st, 2021, the deadline came and went for the state's Adirondack Road Salt Reduction Task Force to submit a comprehensive review of road salt contamination and identify best practices for road salt use in the Adirondacks moving forward. But don't blame the task force members for the overdue work, since they didn't get appointed until 2 weeks later. In light of the task force getting filled out, though, we wanted to examine the work ahead, and to do that, we're checking in with Phil Sexton, a Senate Democratic appointee to the task force who holds a master's in sustainability and environmental management from some university outside of Boston, and is the founder of WIT Advisors, a sustainability advisory firm. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Hey, thank you, David. Appreciate being here.
So for people who aren't environmentalists or haven't been following our, you know, at this point, years of coverage of this issue, can you explain why it's important for the state to be examining the use of road salt in the Adirondacks specifically?
Yeah, I think simply put, it's, you know, road salt, you know, keep in mind, I'm actually snow and ice management contractor by trade for over 30 years and have used a lot of this salt. And during that time of my career, before I got into more of the sustainability and research side of this, really unbeknownst to me and the entire industry, we weren't really aware that even though it's a permitted use product, it also is designated by the EPA as a pollutant. And so it does pollute the waterways. And unlike other pollutants where a lot of times you hear the term, the solution to pollution is dilution, in this particular case, road salt, which primarily is sodium chloride, that chloride anion that's attached to that sodium, it doesn't biodegrade, it doesn't dilute, it only accumulates in the water. And so for decades now, really, as the increased use of salt has found its way into the industry, it's also increased the impact that it's had on waterways to the point where now we're finding it's affecting drinking water and quite frankly, just altering the entire ecosystem of a lot of these freshwater bodies.
Road salt is not a new or theoretical issue for you. You've got real hands-on experience with this. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with road salt in recent years in terms of your advising how it's used in different communities?
Yeah, so, you know, what we do in our firm now is we actually have engaged with several different salt reduction initiatives, not only throughout New York State, but really throughout North America, including up in Ontario. And what we're finding is there's really been a direct correlation between the amount of salt used related to the contamination of the water. And so I think what you'll find is this is a very broad and complex issue to where, you know, if you had to think about where is all this road salt, where's all this pollution coming from, I think a lot of times people that aren't really associated with the industry might think, well, there's a lot of these big salt trucks running around on, say, the state highways. It must be the state. And, although the state, like, for example, is a contributor, but there's a lot of other drivers and variables that are causing this. And so, you know, not only is the state putting down road salt, but so are private contractors, so are in-house operations, all the way down to, you know, you and I are probably putting some down in our driveways and on our sidewalks. And so they all contribute to this issue. And so what we've tried to do with our efforts is wherever we get involved, either on a private property or like in the case of the work that we do up in Lake George, New York, we look at it quite a bit more holistically to say, well, if this is something that we really want to solve in relation to this type of non-point source runoff entering into, say, Lake George, for example, or into the streams and tributaries that enter into Lake George, we have to identify where it's all coming from. So it's not just the town, it's not just the state, it's not just the county, not just a private parking lot. It's all of these broad stakeholders or these categories of stakeholders that contribute to this.
So is the main job then of the Adirondack Road Salt Reduction Task Force to identify where all of the potential salt contamination is coming from, or are there other unanswered questions that need to be resolved as well?
Well, I think, at least from my position on the task force, that's yet to be determined. We have yet to convene. We have yet to sort of be giving our marching orders. But if I had to give you my assessment of what I think we can contribute to this, it's certainly let's first confirm that this is a problem. So I think the fact of the matter is this task force has been developed, or this task force has been assigned, because we know there's a problem. I don't think there's a lot more work that needs to be done as far as to what extent there is a problem. I think that we see, at least from my view, I see state to state, county to county, municipality to municipality. If you looked at water bodies throughout North America, they're all experiencing the same, if not similar results in their water as far as where there's road salt being used. So I think now it's a case of let's confirm what all the contributors are, and let's start to develop really a more holistic or a broad view of stakeholders to say, so who's contributing to this, and how can they help contribute to the solution?
For listeners who are just joining us, we're speaking with Phil Sexton, who was recently appointed to serve on the state's Adirondack Road Salt Reduction Task Force. In the process of finding information out and coming to conclusions while on this task force, what sort of approach do you personally want to take? Is this something where, say, you want to be out in the field, with your hands in the muck, so to speak, or do you want to be someone sort of taking a 10,000-foot approach and having, say, staff bringing items to you? What are you more comfortable with?
Well, I think where I can provide the most value really is at a practical level. Again, even back to you sort of mentioned where I did some of my graduate work, and my thesis.
We can say it. It's Harvard.
Yeah, it's Harvard. But my Harvard thesis really is the title of it is simply this: it's a sustainability analysis of the commercial winter management industry's use of salt. And so, both at a private level and at a public level, what I hope to bring to the table is the experience and the knowledge of knowing what's really going on in the truck at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because that's really how you solve this. I've said this for years now, is a lot of the solutions to this problem can be solved by the person that's in the seat of that truck applying the salt, because they will tell you why they're putting it down at the rate they are. In a lot of cases, it's because they don't know what the rate should be. In other cases, it's because they're just being told, set it and forget it. In other cases, it's because there's a true safety issue involved, and where they actually have to apply at a higher rate in order to even just get up the road that they're trying to maintain. So there's a lot of these drivers and variables that I tried to, in the years when I worked on this thesis work, I tried to frame out, what all these drivers and variables are. And then furthermore, who are the broad set of stakeholders, and what responsibility should each one of these groups of stakeholders take in order to solve this? So it's a very holistic approach, in my opinion, to how we're going to solve this, because it's not just one set of stakeholders. Like a lot of folks like to point their finger to the state, let's say. And again, I go back to saying, like, although they are a contributor, but they're not the only contributor. And if anything, in a lot of states, we've found through research that they may actually be the smallest contributor to this. So, like, where else is this road salt coming from? And so that's part of what I hope to bring to the table.
Well, in addition to considering ways that we can reduce the amount of road salt being used, do we need to explore alternatives to road salt? Are there existing, safer, environmentally speaking, alternatives that can also make roads safe for transportation in hazardous conditions?
There certainly are alternatives that, you know, I think we're probably in some cases, though, decades away from seeing those alternatives really become mainstream reality. I think the bottom line issue right now that can be dealt with in the very short term is I know from a fact, just being a practitioner, and we know through research that there is already natural waste in the system. There's already over-application of salt occurring. Let's deal with that first, because at the end of the day, there is several reasons why this road salt is used. It's because it's very inexpensive compared to any of the other alternatives, and it works. And it's had a history of working for many decades. And so I think the first approach really needs to be a conservation approach to say, let's drive out all the waste first. I mean, one of the first things we do in a program that we've developed, it's the Sustainable Winter Management Program, SWIM, and that's what we've used as the program up in Lake George. And really, first and foremost, there's several steps that you have to follow. The first is just simply measuring, then calibrating, and then prevention. And a lot of that's prevention of the bond. If we could just get, all the municipalities following a standard for how road salt should be both measured, calibrated, and applied, we would solve a lot of this problem, because that's what we've already seen as a model up in Lake George, where we've reduced by at least 50% everywhere we've installed this now. And then in some of the best cases, we're moving towards 75% reduction in say like the small town of Hague, where we've had great success for a number of years now. So we know it's possible. It's just a matter of how do you scale that success? And I think that's going to be the real challenge as far as what this task force, I think, is even going to be assigned to do is, How do we identify what those true practices are? What are the true standards that must be followed by anyone that's applying salt? And how do we then scale that?
So finally, I mentioned at the top that the work of the task force, because of delayed appointments, is already a month behind schedule at this point. So is there any sort of timeline that you're aware of that the task force is considering?
At the moment, I'm not aware of any timeline now, so I think that's yet to be determined and then communicated to us. So I would imagine once you get through some of the administrative changes that have happened more recently, then this will become more of a priority.
Well, we've been speaking with Phil Sexton. He's a Senate Democratic appointee to the state's Adirondack Road Salt Reduction Task Force and a founder of WIT Advisors. Phil, thank you so much for making the time, and good luck with the work ahead.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.